to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the November 27th, 2020 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting virtually across from my great friend and co-host, JT, who is busy in the World Poetry Open Mic headquarters studio. How are you, JT? How's everything going?
It's going well.
It's been... So Thanksgiving's been here in the United States.
Yes.
Just yesterday. And, of course, we're not able to see each other. We're not, we're really trying to stay from connecting with family too much. We're just trying to kind of keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
How did you spend Thanksgiving?
I spent it playing some games with my wife over the computer, and we had turkey and stuffing and... We did do a food exchange with one of our friends. We gave one of our pumpkin pies for some stuffing and some gluten-free stuffing and gluten-free rolls.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what were they made out of if they were gluten-free?
gluten-free flour.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I eat gluten-free stuff all the time.
So I know you do. It's all good.
Well, good. Now, and yeah. When you say on the computer that people should know, they're all actually in the same place. They just play these games, computer games together. So they'll be in maybe different rooms or whatever.
Different room,
playing.
But on the, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, very cool. Stuff. And then, I think it's a thing that's been repeated so much was, despite my protestations, my family decided to, immediate family decided to get together. And it was one of those things where it's like, man, how do you square this? And eventually you just come to the conclusion like, well, I guess they're going to do it anyway. Like, and so, and I can understand the reasoning.
Yeah.
Grandmother wants to see her granddaughter, and all that, but it was a bit frustrating, but at the same time, so it's weird that that's a frustrating thing. This is not a thing that I anticipate being a problem. Getting together with family has always been high on my list of great things to do. And I'm interested if anybody else had any experiences kind of like that as well. If you did have kind of a strange Thanksgiving, not getting together with people, or maybe trying to talk to people who were getting together, even though you're telling them you shouldn't, put something in the chat room. It'd be interesting to see. This evening is going to be a great end of the month show for us. Yes. We're going to be really filling it with poetry and good conversation and good, just good community together. Now, of course, we are now starting next week heading into the last, three episodes?
Yeah, three shows.
Of the weekly World Poetry Open Mic. So we're really going to make it special and build from there. And of course, December 18th, we'll make the mother of all World Poetry Open Mic shows. And, but we will say also, this is a special evening.
Yes.
JT, get ready to cue your party music.
Okay.
Because this technically is World Poetry Open Mic's 8th year anniversary. Now, JT, was it the 29th or the 30th?
Technically the 30th.
So technically the 30th. So it not actually 8 years tonight. However, very, very close.
Yeah.
2000. So November 30th, 2012.
Yeah.
We did our first World Poetry Open Mic broadcast. Whew. Now, I think it was since the next week that Dennis was calling us.
Yes. Yeah.
So Dennis has been with us that long. Steve has been with us pretty much that long as well. Really, thank you for sticking with us and for going with it. You know, we really, really, it means a lot. And, you know, 8 years is no joke. And it's been a long time to be doing this, and we're really happy and pleased to be doing it. And we're just stepping it forward. So, like I said, just so everybody remembers, you know, we're still planning on doing at least once a quarter when we're putting out this magazine as well. We'll do a show like this. We're going to be very, very active in other ways. And so this is, like we're talking about, this is hopefully an evolution, but it is hard to be leaving the weekly thing, and we feel it too, trust me.
Oh yeah.
But we do know it's the right direction to go. We just spent a long time talking about it and working it out. However, we're going to celebrate tonight. It doesn't matter. Right. We're going to celebrate the 8 years together, and we're going to celebrate all of the technical difficulties we've had. not by having more of them, though.
No.
We're going to celebrate all the ridiculous moments we had. You know, like the time that JT and I had a documentary about us trying to storm Area 51.
That was great.
Do you remember the time that we actually shrunk ourselves down and went into J. Todd Underhill's nasal cavity?
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Wow. The time we had someone call and was listening to not Harry Potter. That's not what I meant.
No.
Was listening to a Katy Perry song and then just repeating the lyrics right after she said it. Was like the longest, most drawn out version of Katy Perry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It was Alex, the old bass player from The Silent Still.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember what song it was.
I think it was Firework.
Was it Firework?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was Firework.
Wow.
We've had a lot of really weird things happen. Now, one thing I got to address, though, JT, I was down in Studio X.
Uh-oh.
And I noticed something.
Yeah?
So, for many people don't realize that there's a skeleton in Studio X, and the skeleton has kind of a dark past. There was a moment in, was it still 2012 or early 2013?
2013.
It was 2013.
Yeah.
We got stuck inside of the KZKO studio, and we weren't able to leave. And of course, being a pragmatist, I instantly started thinking about food supply.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
And, you know, I realized that I had not eaten at least for, you know, 3 or 4 hours. And I had a fast metabolism back then, JT. I had a really fast metabolism. I needed food.
Yes.
And really, after taking stock of everything, we realized that the only thing that could be eaten to sustain me was the intern known as Andy. And I don't feel good about this. You know, it did happen on the air. So, I mean, everybody knew.
Really fast, by the way.
Well, I mean, you can't do it slowly. You do it quickly. It's more humane.
Like, it was barely... not even 15 minutes into the second hour.
I was hungry.
Okay? Yeah, that's really hungry.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get some Denny's right after that. Now, by the way, I credit this show with making me never want to eat in another diner again. We were spending like 3 hours in Village Inn after the show, and I realized how much of our life we were spending in those places, and I said, never again, JT.
That's right.
We're much more upscale when we go to Applebee's. Anyway, yeah, so Andy snuffed it, as they say.
Yep.
And ever since then, his the remnants of his mortal coil, the skeleton, has been hanging in Studio X. Now, here's the problem that George, sorry. What are interns good for when the food supply runs out? You know. So the Alfred Packard School of Management taught me that.
Yes.
Anyway. So I went down to Studio X, JT, and I noticed, call me crazy, I think the skeleton moved.
No. Really?
Because one of the arms is out of the shackle.
Huh.
And if you didn't move it.
No.
And I didn't move it. And Christine didn't move it.
Christine hasn't been down there.
And the Phantom didn't just show up and move it. Then who moved it?
And it's not dislocated off the body. It's still attached to the body.
No, it's like it just got pulled free.
Of the shackle.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
It's a little nerve-wracking. A little nerve-wracking.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So all of that aside, I'm sorry to take up everybody's time. I just felt like I needed to kind of mention that, JT. I'm a little nervous about that place right now.
I can imagine.
Yes. And Dennis, you know, I'm not someone who wants to believe that the ghost of Andy stalks Studio X, but I got to say, even the Phantom, when she was on the show all the time, really didn't want to go down there. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Anyway, I think the Phantom was there when the whole Andy thing went down, wasn't she?
I think she had the night off, I think.
Well, and your daughter was there
yes.
for a lot of the first few shows.
Yes.
My brother James was there for a lot of those shows.
Yep.
To give you an idea, he was in high school then, or he was like 18.
Yeah.
And now he's 26.
Yes, he is.
It's kind of crazy to think about, huh?
Yes, it is. Okay.
All right. So, at any rate, we're going to start getting into the poetry. But before we get into that, I would like to just kind of quickly go over the rules of the show and just kind of lay down the groundwork for what we're going to do this evening. So, rule number one, no hate speech. We've never done that on the show. We never will. It's just a safe place for everybody. Rule number two, please keep it PG-13 or less. Just sometimes we have families, we have younger people who want to listen. Let's once again make this a nice, friendly, welcoming place for them. We're not in the business of censoring anyone. So if you have a good flow going, we might not say something, but we do reserve the right to do so and jump in. The next rule, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. It's just really respectful for the other listeners and for the flow of the show. Now, if it goes a couple, like a minute over, a few seconds, or we're not going to like penalize you, but no 30-minute, you know, recitations of, you know, no long poems. Okay. Next one, when we come on the line, please have your poem ready to go, and that's also just a flow thing and more of a respect thing as well. Rule number, what is it? Five now?
Five.
rule number five, like any great forum, any great Facebook group, this is not a place for self-promotion. If you have something really cool you're doing, you want to bring it up, totally understand, no big deal. But if, you know, if it gets a little gratuitous, one, it doesn't work. So it's actually just kind of a waste of time for everyone. But two, it is, you know, it's just not really polite to do, right? It's kind of like spamming people. So let's just not do it. Let's just be cool, like you would in any forum or a place like that. And rule number six, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. We want to hear about them. But if you say them in the chat room or you say them over the phone, well, we might see them. We might hear them, but they kind of move by really fast because we're doing the show. So if you want us to really get it, send us an email, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or put it in the contact form on the website. We will see it. We will discuss it. And it's the best way for us to be able to get it, to be able to pay attention to it, which is what we want to be doing. Did I miss anything, JT?
No, you nailed it.
All right. Thank you for that. All right. So I have an awesome submission queued up for next segment. But what we do need, and I'm going to be answering the calls here. So it'll be like last week. We do need 5 unique callers for our first segment. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here in time for the first segment. Always a very exciting time here in World Poetry Open Mic. Ville. I don't know if I've ever referred to World Poetry Open Mic as a place while adding a suffix to it.
I think you haven't referred to it that way.
But I have said, welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, which kind of makes it sound like it's a place, right?
Yes.
It's a kingdom of the mind, JT. A kingdom of the mind.
It lives within our hearts.
That's right.
Okay.
And occasionally our bowels.
Yes.
But that's only the shows where there's technical problems.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
Now, the thing is, we got to remember, too, JT, when we first started, we started a radio station.
Yes.
And then we moved on from there. And the first few times we did it independently, it was hilarious because so much of the technology that's out there now to do these kinds of things did not exist.
Right.
Back then.
Not as smoothly as they are now.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing the pandemic has done is really changed how we communicate virtually.
Yeah, it has.
But I mean, it's been pretty crazy. Yeah, it's really, really something. JT, could you do me a favor?
I sure can.
Could you stall for a second and turn me off so I can grab something?
Oh, I can stall. Sure thing. Okay. Hang on.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's see. Nope, read that one. That one's too big. Let's see. Okay, Forgotten Language by Shel Silverstein. Once I spoke the language of the flowers. Once I understood each word the caterpillar said. Once I smiled in secret at the gossip of the starlings and shared a conversation with the housefly in my bed. Once I heard and answered all the questions of the crickets. And joined the crying of each falling, dying flake of snow. Once I spoke the language of the flowers. How did it go? How did it go? Do I need to keep stalling?
All right, we good?
We're good. And that was All Forgotten right. Language by Shel Silverstein.
Fantastic. And I really appreciate you doing that, sir. I had that because there was a very special moment that a very special thing happening that I needed to jump on.
Oh, okay.
Before we come in here.
Okay.
So I have a submission that I'm going to be reading before we get into the rest of the callers. And we have five fantastic callers lined up. However, there is a caller that I'm going to bring on right after the submission.
Okay.
That is someone who has not called in a long time.
Okay.
And it's a rare enough appearance, and I think the people who know who she is will completely understand why we're bringing her on. But before I do that, I'm going to read our submission. Is that okay?
Perfect.
All right. And this is from our great friend of the show, Natalia Govsha, and this is called "Mom, You've Gone." Mom, you've gone to another world. Disappearing through the circle of pain in your dream, leaving me. I hold and embrace you with the arms of my memory. I believe you return as my shadow on a sunny day, or as a bird in my window, or with the light breath of wind in my hair, or a snowflake on my lips, or a morning sunbeam in my mirror. Mom, you've gone. Without your earthly love, I'm no longer a child. Neither for myself nor for anyone. I. What does my word I mean? I know now. They contained your grain, a spark, a thought, life from your eternal life. My mom. And that was Mom, You've Gone by Natalia Govsha. Wonderfully done, Natalia. Fantastic as always. And if you want to submit a poem like Natalia, you can. World Poetry Open Mic at gmail.com or put it in the contact form. Either way, indicate that it's a submission to be read on the show, and we'll be happy to do so. All right. JT, are you ready to hear the surprise caller here?
I am.
All right. I'm going to bring her on in 3, 2, 1. Hello, Ellie. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Ellie, well, welcome, everybody. This is Ellie from Pennsylvania. She's been one of the longest time callers to our show. She is, in my mind, represents a large part of the heart of this show, especially from early on. And we always love hearing from her. And I was so excited when I saw her calling in. And this is something we've done occasionally when she calls in. We'll clear the way to make sure Ellie, who is one of the you know, founding members of the show, to make sure she gets a moment. So, Ellie, how are you? How is everything where you are? Happy late Thanksgiving, first of all. But how is everything?
Everything is fine. We're staying very close to home and not going anywhere. It's trying to stay safe.
Good.
Wearing masks and gloves and everything. So, yeah.
Good.
I'm fine. But thank you very much. You know, what I was doing before Dennis reminded me to call in is my son is in California, and he's a recovering alcoholic. And I was in Al-Anon for like 30 years. And I wrote a lot of poetry about recovery. And he's sponsoring a couple of boys. And he said, "Mom, send me all your poetry about your recovery." So I've been sending him like 25, 30 poems that are going to be read at the AA meeting to help these boys, these young boys,
with their
recovery.
Yeah, that's fantastic. This is that.
I know. I'm so excited about it. I'm losing my mind sending him, because I've got over 2,000 poems on all poetry. So,
oh my gosh.
I know, I've been going through them. Anyway, I picked out what is actually my very favorite poem, personally. And it's a love poem, and it's called Breath of Love. And I'll read that if you want. Are you ready for me to do that?
We're ready. Whenever you are.
All right. Sunlight dapples summer's fullness, canopied in leafy splendor shade. Once in early spring, love lingered on a moment's soft mossy hour. Budding thus begun fullest spring, love blossomed through the years. Seasons came and seasons leaving, love remained where it began, lingered beyond all seasons waning. Here the beauty breathes, love's living, returning, remembering love's first hour, when in leafy glade of yesteryears, nature loved first kiss so keeping, midst trees of lake and moss of green, held caressing as verdant bliss. The end.
Wow. Wow. Ellie, and JT can hear you. You just can't hear him, but because we're virtual, you can't hear him back right now, but he's here hearing it. And it's just lovely to hear your voice. And by the way, so first of all, thank you for calling. But second of all, with all those poems you're talking about, that sounds like it would be a great book.
Yeah, you know, it's true. I hadn't thought about it. And my son, we were talking this morning, and he said, "Mom, could you put a book together with all the poems about your recovery?" And and I said, "Oh, geez, I never thought of that." So, yeah, that's probably my next project, well, I think.
I'll tell you, Ellie.
Something has to happen.
If you want, I'll help you put that book together with no strings attached to it. If you want, I mean, I can do the cover design. I can put it all together if you want.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll talk about it outside of being on the air, of course. But I wanted to let you know I'm definitely there to support you and especially a mission like that. I think there's other poets on the show who've been around and seen me do that as well. But I absolutely would love to help you with that.
Oh, that would be heavenly. What a gift, my dear friend, that would be. Absolutely, yeah. Oh, that would be great. It's funny, when I first started in Al-Anon in 1989, I started writing to help myself heal and get the 12 steps straight in my mind. And I started reading them at meetings, and then people started saying, Ellie, I want a copy. I want a copy. So I bring all these copies. And so it, there was a time when that's what I was doing, you know. Really, really amazing. Would you like me to read one of the recovery poems?
JT, what do you think? What do you think, sir? Everybody, let me throw this out. I'm just trying to be respectful of everybody here, Ellie. In the chat room,
oh, sure.
How do we feel about that, everybody? What do you think? Should we? Okay. So everybody's saying yes. They're saying go for it. Yes. Okay. And I hope everybody who's waiting is completely fine. Okay. All right, Ellie, go for it. We'll have you read one. Okay.
All right. This is probably one of the first ones I ever wrote when I was in recovery, and it's called Only When. Only when I was drowning could I begin to cry for help. Only when I found safe harbor with my dear friends could I begin to be free of fear and pain. Only when my soul had faced the emptiness within and embraced the pain and given up the battle that raged in endless defeat. Only when I could see clearly enough to glimpse dimly the love within me. Only when I began to reach within myself and gather all the fragments I had long ago abandoned or never really knew, and accepted all the feelings as my own, all the experiences of life, my life, one by one and belonging only to me. Only when the surrender of my will and my life to God began in earnest, surrender of all of me, only then could I begin to feel one with God and imagine reaching out and embracing the universe with love.
Wow. Ellie, that's such a meaningful, heartfelt piece of poetry, which, I mean, I've always known you as the deeply heartfelt poet. I mean, JT, don't you agree? It's been like, we've just known that from the beginning. But hearing you dealing with such an intense subject, and you and I both know, I mean, you've definitely been through some very intense scenarios and things in your life, and for you to show up with such love and such beautiful conviction is really something special, and we really appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. My life has been way too hard, but the only thing that saved me is staying close to God, and His strength has been my strength and has turned all this pain into a deeper love. Look at our new president. I mean, he lost his son, Bo. And the only reason that Joe is the beautiful human being he is, and I know it because I've been there, is because of staying close to God and all that he had to go through, losing so many people. And that's why he's as beautiful as he is, you know? So...
It is loss. It is pain that brings out. Cynthia has used the metaphor of the pottery practice in Japan, where they'll break the pottery apart and reassemble it using like a golden glue or something like that, or an adhesive. But it's the breaking apart and the reassembling of it that makes this beautiful piece of work. And I agree. The pain and the difficult scenarios are the places where we have an opportunity to grow, and it makes someone more beautiful, I think. If you let it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It can go. I have friends who, ended up in that bitterness and the anger and the negativity, and always, so sad. And I had a dread fear of that, God, let me use this pain for your greater glory. And so you never know. I mean, people show up in my life out of nowhere. And I was on the phone with somebody from my insurance company, and I could hear it in her voice. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she was in a deep sorrow. And I shared with her what I've been going through and my trust in God. And she, the thing she said to me was, this is the best phone call I've ever had in my life. So you never know.
Ellie, you give us a lot of great phone calls too, I got to tell you. But you're right. You never do know. Now, Ellie, I should probably head on and get the other callers here. But I'm really, yes. Of course, you're always welcome to call during the return and anytime. We'll be around until December 18th is our last show. I know it's our last weekly show, I should say. And it's pretty tough to come to it. And this is a community we love. And boy, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I know what we're going to do, but I don't know. It's going to feel so strange. The thing to know, though, everybody who is listening, on Friday nights, JT and I are still going to be getting together and working diligently. So out there will still be these two guys doing work. And maybe occasionally we'll leave the Skype line open if you guys wanted to give us a call and just say hi. We could be around for it. Yeah,
I know you guys are being led in the right direction. You're both such beautiful human beings. And I want to thank everybody that said, yeah, you can go ahead and read this. Hi, guys. Hi, all of you. I love you all. And be well. And I'll wait to hear from you.
Sounds good.
Collaboration.
I'll reach out to you. Yeah, this will be great. Oh. All right, Ellie.
Oh, wonderful.
We love you. Thank you.
Love you too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Ellie, not in the number one spot, in the zero spot here in the first segment. I want to say thank you, first of all, to Ellie. So happy that she called. But also thank you to everybody who's coming up, who's been waiting patiently. That's really meaningful. So without any further ado, we're going to jump right into it. So we're going to go to our number one caller for the evening. We're going to go to Zach in upstate New York. Zach. Hello, sir. Sorry about making you wait. I appreciate your patience. How are you?
Hey, you know, I still get to share my poetry with you guys. So it's the perfect end to a week.
Well, we're very, I mean, and this is no pun intended. We're very thankful for you. And we're really, you know, thankful for everything you bring to the show. And thank you for your perspective. I mean, I think that's one of the things we all share with our poetry here is, you know, is the perspectives that we all individually bring and how we share them. And yours is definitely appreciated, my friend. How was Thanksgiving where you are?
Well, I was working for 6 hours alone. So I was working from 12 to 7, but I was alone from 1 to 7. So it was, you know, but I live with my parents, so I was still able to get the delicious food. So, you know, just working, doing that daily grind, and, you know, saving up my money, because next year I am going to budget myself, and I have $11,655 left of my student loans, and oof. I'm going to pay it all off next year. I'm gonna put away $250 a week, and I'll have it paid off by the end of the next year. And then I will be debt-free by the time I'm 30.
Think about that. Fantastic, my friend. And by the way, and I'm not going to share anything because you and I have talked, but you're going to have one heck of a year next year, my friend. And that's just one of the reasons.
It's all thanks to you. And yes, speaking of which, that'll be an interesting time because next week I get my first royalties.
Yeah. Fantastic. And by the way, I got to tell you, getting your first royalty checks, I'm sure other poets who put out books here can attest, is just such a great feeling, you know, and it doesn't even matter how much it is. Going and buying yourself a cup of coffee because of a book you wrote is just a great feeling.
Absolutely. So it'll be $136.
Say that. You might make people who are, you know, that's a lot of money to be talking about publicly on the air.
Oh, okay.
I'm just playing around. I'm playing around.
Oh, okay. But yeah, you know, even that's not going all to me because I'm donating half to the Jed Foundation.
Right.
Because that's the part of people I'm working with, which I can't wait to call them and tell them, hey, just so you know, I'm working with you. I'm donating half of my money to you guys for every book that I write. And so I can't wait to tell them that I'm going to be helping them.
I love it. I love it. So Zach, what do you have for us for this evening?
Well, nothing as heartfelt and personal as what Ellie had, but so this is a poem I wrote last week. It's called Move On, and, you know, I think it's something that we all struggle with, is moving on. So here we go. Words don't seem to mean much anymore. Nothing's made sense since you walked out that door. I don't understand how everything went so wrong. Well, I guess the time has come. It's time to move on. Don't know how I'll get along, because with you, I felt strong. What'll I do if I see you out on the street? Well, I'm not going to punch or cry. Won't raise my middle finger to the sky. Just going to walk on by. And if you grab my hand as I walk away, baby, there's only one thing I'll have to say. Move on. End of piece.
Nicely done. Yeah, moving on is a difficult thing. And strangely enough, when you get good at it, the other people really take it the wrong way. JT, have you noticed this? When you actually move on, people don't really like it very much, do they?
No, they don't. Not at all.
Yeah, he agreed with me there, Zach. So it's but I think you hit it. Now, I do like the idea of pointing a middle finger to the sky, though. That's there's moments in my life where I feel like I would have done that, except I realize it's mostly my fault.
Well, and you know, it's just really interesting that for me that I'm able to write about stuff like that, because I've never had the chance to be in a relationship, so I've never really had a chance to move on. But you know, I think it's just the realization that at some point, you know, if you do have to move on, that you know, just screaming and crying and you know, hurting them because you're hurt, it's just not going to do anyone any good. So
yeah, I don't think it's, yeah, you're right. I don't really think it's not really the right move. You know, hey, that doesn't stop some people from doing it. But either way, you wrote it very well. And I know that you'll get to experience everything you want at some point, but hopefully you don't have to experience the moving on part.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'll let you get to the next people, but, I will talk to you guys in the return engagement.
The return. Yes. Yes. We'll definitely do that. And Zach, we're looking forward to it already. Thank you. And thank you for being so patient. Really do appreciate that.
No problem.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.
And that was Zach calling from New York in the number one spot officially of the first segment here. Now we're going to be traveling to a little place I like to call Michigan, mostly because other people call it that too. And we're going to go to George in the number two spot here. Hello, George. Welcome on the show. Sorry about making you wait there, my friend.
Oh, that is not a problem at all. It was so nice to hear Ellie. I'd heard her once before when she called in, but I've only been with the show for a few years, and what a treat. And this is the makings of a heck of a night.
It sure does.
Except that I'm up now. And it could change, but no, the one I'm going to read one that's not exactly an upper, it's more of a downer, but I got to read it soon because it's about Thanksgiving somewhat.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I can't read this thing, you know, it's hard to read it on July 4th.
It's thematic. Yeah.
Yeah. This one I just wrote, I think in the last several days, called The Loneliness of His Discontent. He had taken to looking out windows more, but the world out there seemed to have no interest in him. Fewer cars spattered by on his wet, leaf-strewn street. One morning, an ambulance had come to the gray house on the corner, and he wondered if old Edna would ever return. The barber shop had taken on a quiet pall with only one person at a time, and he wondered about the value of his sterilized haircut that no one sees. At the store, the many masks seemed to also be muzzles. And fewer words were spoken, as if they were told that talking was lethal. And someone else arrived every day to walk Edna's dog. That he would not be invited to a holiday dinner with family was expected, and it made great sense. Who knew what dangers lay in Aunt Marie's hug, or Brenda's sweet rolls, or the nicely lined up silverware? Would it have been smart to pet the dog? He washed his hands again. On the windowsill was a prayer card from Uncle Walt's funeral, meager as it was, in a windy tent with only 9 people. Walt's own priest had died, and they used a rent-a-plot pastor for the lonely rite. The man apologized for not knowing Walt or anyone else there. He tried to care. And the disinterested leaves skittered across the old cold slope of arranged stones and fake flowers. He decided to buy a small turkey and the other stuff it requires. He cooked it carefully, as she had always told him to. It had to be safe, of course. With a rampant monster virus all around, one could hardly dare to get ill from food. Alone at the table, he tried a spoonful of cranberries and stared at the dead bird, brownly golden on a fine platter of sweet smells. For some reason, he couldn't raise a knife to the glistening sweet skin. He couldn't penetrate the shape and spirit of this familial comrade. He took a bite of green beans, and then he decided not to violate the turkey. He covered it, and then he went to the window where it was starting to get colder and darker. There was a for sale sign on old Edna's lawn. End of piece.
Wow. George, I mean, so a fantastic piece, first of all, but hearing you read it for some reason really, really connected that one for me. Yeah, really well done. Really well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I listened, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to bring everybody down.
No.
Yeah, it was, I enjoyed writing it and I enjoyed reading it.
Well, that's what we call a win there.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win, George.
It's a win-win. That's right.
Well, we really do appreciate it. And, fantastic. How did you spend, I would imagine spend Thanksgiving kind of sequestered away, huh?
Yes, we did. Yeah. We turned down, 2 invitations, family, you know, and, just looked like it would be, dangerous. And, we'll have other years. We're desperate. Neither one of us is desperate to see people, you know.
And so,
we love people, but we can wait out until it's safe.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a nice day. We actually did a lot of stuff around here. We did decorating. We did.
Oh, good.
I did some stuff. Yeah. And we did have a turkey dinner, but it was just for us, you know. Now it's great leftover time, you know.
Prime leftover time, yeah, exactly.
It's prime leftover time. So I can even after this show's over late tonight, I'll probably find some cold turkey or something.
Perfect.
But okay, well, hey, want to get off, but thank you, and I'll be around for the, I hope, around for the return engagement.
We hope you are too, and thank you so much, and happy belated Thanksgiving to you and to your family.
Thanks.
You got it.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan in the number 2 spot in the first segment. Now we're going to head to New York City to talk to the Dark Lord himself, Steve. Good evening, Steve. How are you, sir? Okay. JT's playing the theme song. One moment.
You're good. Go ahead.
All right. Hello, Steve. Are you with us? Oh, no.
Did so it Steve, happen already?
Yeah, Steve, if you can hear me, I can't hear you. So if you could hang up and call back in, I'll get you. And if not, I'll give another 10 seconds or so, and then I'll hang up. And then if you call back, we'll take you live. I think you might be right. It's a time thing. I'll see.
Yeah.
He hung up. So that was, it is the same issue. So by the way, Dennis, you might run into the same scenario here. So just be aware of that. All right. Here comes Steve. Hello, Steve. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for calling back, sir. Sorry about that.
You can hear me now?
We can. Just fine.
It sounds like a Verizon commercial.
It kind of feels like one, too.
No, you know what? I'm going to deny ever saying this. And if anybody says that I said it, I will have to kill them. But Michael,
yes.
Bravo. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
It was so good to hear Ellie's voice.
It was, wasn't it?
It's going to be an emotional next 3 Fridays.
Yes.
But bravo. That was a class act.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And then I'll immediately forget you said it.
Well, good, because if you tell anyone I said anything good about you, I will have to kill you.
All right. We don't want that. All right.
Well, so. Governor Cuomo doesn't want me leaving the state, so.
Well, hey, we're not supposed to leave the state either, but I don't know if you heard about what happened here in Denver. We're not
with your mayor?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know who the happiest man in America is now?
Whoever his next opponent is?
No, Bill de Blasio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Because now when you say Alcalde Pendejo, you have to say which one.
You know what? Great point. No, wait, we just thought, you know, if there's a move that you could just do to just make everybody angry, at least we're united in that, you know. Literally everybody's angry at this guy now. So go figure.
Anyway. Been a great show so far.
Thank you.
So I apologize for the next 2 minutes.
Yeah. Sincerely, Dad, I'm going to give you the stage, though, and we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. This piece is called Tweed. This old and threadbare tweed I have woven, each strand a memory of these long years. The russets and greens, the silver strands, all those things that I always remember, and those sadly unable to forget. All the tears mended by such loving hands, and those which were slapdash patched in my shame, the many stains caused by a life hard lived, and others from casual carelessness. These commemorations also I wear. This I live, and this I bring before you. All I have, and all I ever have been, it is this now I lay before your feet, in anticipation and atonement. End peace.
Fantastic, Steve. And the Irish Catholic in me completely resonates with that imagery there.
Oh, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, are you trying to be one of us now?
The fact the saying that you just used was said so many times by my grandfather and my grandmother growing up. It actually feels like home.
Well, there's an old joke about a guy being brought before a police officer because he had been robbed. And he said, can you describe your assailants in any way? And the guy said, they were Irish-American.
Okay.
And the cop says, well, can you say anything else? Tall, short, slim, fat? The guy said, it was dark and they were wearing masks. Well, how do you know that they were Irish Catholic? And the guy said, because when one of them tried to lift up the bag he stole from me, he said, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that's heavy." But I'm bummed.
I completely would believe it, too. Yeah.
And on that note, a happy belated Thanksgiving to both of you. Thank you again for everything that JT does for everyone, because we know that it is JT.
It is, truly.
Is the talented one.
Yes.
And now back to some quality work.
Steve.
Thank you very much, guys.
And thank you.
I look forward to hearing more of the show and hearing you next week.
Hey, thank you so much. Goodbye. Happy Thanksgiving again. And that was Steve calling from New York. What a treat. What a treat.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool hearing Ellie, hearing everybody. And now we're going to bring on our longest time supporter. Let's go to Dennis from Michigan here in the number four spot. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. Here I am.
Hey, great to hear your voice. Thanks so much for hanging up and calling back in. That really helps us out. And it's been a good night so far. Been a good night so far, huh?
A wonderful night. And I have to echo what Steve says. Thank you so much for putting Ellie in there to start off the show. That was very kind of you, and you really made her night. That's for sure.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have her and you on the show. And you know, you're very steadfast, and you call most weeks, and but you're never taken for granted. I hope you know that.
Yeah, it's more like sandstone rather than granite.
not at all. It's
George told me not to mention your spam file.
Hey, you know what? I checked the spam file before the show today, didn't I, JT? I did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I was. It really was, and I was going, I better check that spam file, because now I know that things are going there. This is not good. So yes, I apologize for that again, Dennis.
Not a problem. You are forgiven.
All right. I appreciate it. I'm a Catholic. I need absolution before we can move on. Yeah. So, how was Thanksgiving where you are?
Thanksgiving was very, very good. We had a very quiet, small, there's three of us here instead of the 18 or 20.
Oh,
and it was very intimate, but a very, very, very good and meaningful. So it worked out very well.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that. It's just a different year, huh? So we learn to be more present, and it's something for me. You know, it's interesting to see how easy it is sometimes to take these family gatherings for granted sometimes. And
traditions are hard to break. You know,
really hard.
Yeah, you look forward to it. There are special times, you know, that we create and expect. So once it gets kind of taken away from us, we can really appreciate all the privileges and rights we had before.
Yeah.
And remember to appreciate it all the more and really have an appreciation for what you have now, you know. So it all works out.
it eventually does. You know, we got to remember that. But still, it's important to remember. Okay, so how about this, Dennis? I'm gonna let you take the stage. I'll be quiet. I'll back off, and we can talk for a moment after you're done as well. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Of course.
My poem tonight doesn't have a title, but it speaks for itself. It doesn't need a title. Happy anniversary, World Poetry Open Mic. You got into my head, a real poetry psych. Your mix of spoken word art elevated my Friday nights off the chart. First you got into my head, and then you captured my heart. My hat off to our technical wizard, Mr. JT. Working his weekly magic is his cup of tea. But he is also and able and creative host, this haiku master, I heartily toast. No slouch is the incredible Mr. Michael Hamaday. Every Friday night, he's ready to play. Verbally sparring with callers, announcing who's next, and musically shines in each Studio X. For 8 years, they've shared all their Friday nights, encouraging their callers to new poetic heights. This commitment, the sacrifice they gladly made for the show's success, 'twas the price they paid. A great debt of gratitude we surely them owe. By their encouragement, creative juices did flow, bringing worldwide strangers together for poetry's sake. We became a caring family, now sharing this anniversary cake. Thank you, Michael, JT and the Phantom 2, Christine and J-Todd, for all that you do. Seems we just got started, but these 8 years flew. I celebrate WPOM show and its wonderful crew. End of poem.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Dennis, that was beautiful and really, really sweet. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was heartfelt too. You guys have done so much for us. We have all grown as poets and spoken word artists. And it's all thanks to you and the opportunities you've given us, the encouragement you've given us. And I know that came with a price. And I want to let you know you're appreciated so very much. And we need to let you know how very true that is. So I think I babbled enough, but it was all true. So it's all good. And I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up the mic. I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you during the return, okay?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
As are we. Talk to you then. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan in the number 4 spot here in the first segment. Now we're going to be heading to the scariest state in the union, known as Pennsylvania. And we're going to talk to Jim. Hello, Jim. Good evening. Oh, it's muted still. Let's see what's going on here. Hello, Jim. Good evening.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I have no idea. But, Lottie, I'm telling you right now, when I find you, you better run.
Well, it's a good thing I'm in a totally different state, thousands of miles away. But it's a good kind of head start I need.
You cannot run. You cannot hide. Because no matter where you go, I'll be waiting for you.
You know, you sound like a girl I dated once.
Oh, you know, really? Really?
Yeah.
You know I'm not.
That's a long story. Well, I mean, you don't actually sound like. It's just the words. Just the words. I'm kidding.
Oh,
I'm
sweet
kidding.
Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, you'd have to run up. You'd have to run uphill, Jim. Dennis has got a good point. If you're going to chase.
Both ways?
Yeah. So if you start running to chase me now, I could probably take a nap or something after the show.
Yeah. Then, well, I'm going to club myself and be everywhere.
All right. Well, there you go. That'll happen. All right. So, Jim, how have you been?
Doing okay.
Okay.
Kind of hanging in there.
Well, we're glad you're hanging in there, but I'm sorry. You know, if you're having a rough time.
Ups and downs.
Understood. Understood, my friend. We're happy you could join us, though. It's always a pleasure to have you. And
thank you.
So I'm going to do this. I'll give you the stage, and then when you're ready, just go ahead and read, and then we'll be back on right after. Okay.
All right.
Here you go.
It's not my usual fare that I've been doing of recent. It's something more historical, or more of a remembrance of something. It's titled of a day a lifetime ago. A man, a rifle, a Dallas motorcade, and then a nation mourning. End of poem.
Yeah. Wow. And it's amazing to me. I was thinking about this last week on the anniversary. I was thinking just how incredible it was that it wasn't even brought up. Everybody's so focused on other things.
Yeah, as I was wondering, it's like, I looked at the clock and it's like, oh, wait, it's the 22nd.
Yeah.
It's 57 years to the day.
It's just amazing. And it's just kind of crazy to think that there's so many other things going on that wasn't a blip that came up. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. So, boy, I don't know. But thank you for bringing it up so we can more consciously remember.
Yeah, it's strange. Like one of the few people that I know remembering it wasn't even alive then. It didn't happen wasn't born for another 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 8 years.
Well, you know, I wasn't alive either, but I'm still aware of it. Just like I wasn't alive during World War II, but I definitely connect with those dates too. Yeah. My father had the experience when John Kennedy was going around on tour to try to get elected, and he had stopped for an overnight in Durango, Colorado, where my dad grew up. I think it was Durango, might have been Alamosa. And my dad was like 8, 9 years old. And this is a situation that never could have happened nowadays. But he heard they were in town. He knew that, you know, he'd seen them on TV kind of as a kid, and knew the motel where they were, went up, found the room, walked in, said hello, and actually met Bobby Kennedy for a minute. And then John Kennedy walked out of a bedroom, was getting ready to go and stop and talk to my dad for a few minutes. And they were nice to him. And then he went on his way.
Cool.
It's just amazing to kind of hear things like that, but then also look at the significance of the day and just realize, you know, this was another guy, another person, just like any of us. Anyway, Jim, thank you, sir. And hopefully we'll hear from you during the return.
Yeah, I'm hopped up on coffee.
All right. You and me both, brother.
I am the human Super Bowl.
You are the human Super Bowl. Okay. I've been told that I am the smell of the season, which we will explain later. JT, have you queued that song up to play people yet?
I can.
My song Smells of the Season. All right. Think about it because return, it might be a fun thing to do this evening, or if not this evening, in the next few weeks.
Oh, we'll do it.
You guys got to play I'm Walking Backwards for Christmas.
I don't even know this song. We're going to have to look it up.
It's by the Goonies. Peter Sellers was one of the members.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. So yes, I'm.
Yes, I am kidding. No, actually, not. I'm not. No, there is an actual song.
I was going to say, Jim, that would have been horrible, man. Don't do that to me. Okay, yeah. All right. Hey, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you, and we will talk to you during the return.
Yep.
All right. Talk to you then. Thank you, sir. Bye. Bye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, aka the scariest state in the union. So that actually completes our first segment. That was a really solid first segment, don't you think, JT?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Absolutely crazy. So we're getting ready to head into the second segment. This is not a time to call back in yet. It is for 5 more unique callers, people who didn't get to call yet or maybe just came on and want to call. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Hey, mister.
Hey.
Hey, mister, do you like poetry?
Sure.
Get in the van.
Okay.
World Poetry Open Mic. Does this smell like chloroform to you? Once again, that is my announcer voice. The thing I'm very proud of.
You should be.
You know, I feel like that could be a whole, like, I should have an entire show where I just talk like nothing but that. But I need to come up with another name because I don't really want that attached to my real name.
Yeah, no, you would have to have a different one.
Like, I don't know. What kind of name would fit that? Bert or Birdie?
A Bert, definitely.
Bert Winkelmeyer?
Well, yeah. Brockmeyer, yeah. Well, Jim got it. Yeah.
What do you get?
Brockmeyer. Oh, it was a show where Hank Azaria.
Who is Brockmeyer?
It was a fictional character, but he was basically doing a sports announcer. And that's what it sounds like.
Essentially what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. like the idea of Bert Squecky.
Bert Squecky. Okay.
Hello, everybody. This is Bert Squecky, and this is News on the Hour. Every hour. I don't sleep because I'm getting the news for you.
Yikes.
I haven't slept in 4 months. And I'm starting to think these dragons are not real.
I like it. All right. Bert Squecky. Got it. Writing it down.
Perfect. Yes. Perfect. All right. So we've got two amazing poets lined up here for the second segment, and we're just going to get straight into it because there's not a submission to read, and we're just going to go right now to Vancouver, British Columbia, to our great friend Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia. How are you? Oh, hello, Cynthia. Are you there? Uh-oh. Let's try this again. Hello, Cynthia, you there? For some reason, we're having an issue connecting with Cynthia. Cynthia, if you can hear me, there's some sort of issue going on here. And I may ask you to call us right back, and I will I'll bring you right back on. So if you can hear me, do that. That's so strange. Here she is. Let's bring her on again. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
I'm not sure exactly what happened. It was very strange. But thank you so much for calling, and we're really happy to have you.
Oh, thanks for giving us this platform for all this time. And it's still going to continue in other ways. So we're so grateful for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's definitely going to continue. And we're looking at having more expanded live events sometime later in the year with the magazine as well. Almost like Posick Fest, but trying to make it a little bit larger too. So that'll actually be kicking back up again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's been a wonderful show tonight.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to give you the stage, and then we'll talk a little bit after. Okay.
Okay. So this is a poem that I read for the first time on Wednesday. So a few people have heard it, but it's my first time to read it on the show tonight. It's my December poem for my Movement in Light column, and it was written to one of Jilly Watson's paintings. She does all these paintings of the beautiful trails in British Columbia where you can go hiking, and I'm not as brave as she is. I haven't gone all the way up the mountain, but you can go all the way up to the top and look out. So I just looked at her painting and did a poem to it. My poem is called Sisters of the Meadow. Sparkly hotel Christmas trees, magical and raw at once. Fairy saplings in winter, persimmon and pistachio, holiday tinsel come to life, adorning their environment, roots intact, allow the depth of their beauty for its own sake. Incantations of blue in the stillness of the lake, quietly into their core, pristine pine babies, delicate tweens dancing safely, protect the brave red fringe of wild flora, the undefined graciousness of being. That's it. End poem.
Wow. Cynthia, it's you know, I have to say, and I hope you understand where I'm coming with this, is that I remember your poetry being really strong when you started with the show, but as seeing you grow and develop over the last few years, there is a I want to say you're more deft and technical in your approach now. You have a much firmer grasp of the art form than, not that you didn't at the beginning, but I'm just sensing a deeper and deeper mastery of it. And it shows itself every time.
I think because you've given us this platform, every time we read out loud, we get more confident and we can also see what we need to edit.
Yeah.
I usually have to read it to someone to go, even tonight, I was like, oh, I should have cut some of that. That's a bit off. But you have to read it out loud to know what to cut. And you've given us this wonderful platform where we get to build up our confidence in this nice, safe environment. So thank you.
Of course. It's really a pleasure for us as well. And thanks so much for being on this journey with us. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Diane.
We are too. But it's a pleasure, hearing from you as well. And we hope we'll be able to, hear you again in the return.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Cynthia Kahn from Vancouver, British Columbia, laying it down for the beginning of the second segment. JT hates it when I say that, which is why I do it. Now, Cynthia just kind of tipped everybody off as to who the next caller is, which is fine by me because she is fantastic. We haven't heard from her in a while because, life gets busy sometimes. We get it. But this is a great friend of the show. We absolutely adore her. This is fantastic. Diane calling us from Florida.
Life gets busy sometimes.
Hello, Diane.
Hello, Diane. How are you?
Hello, guys. I'm great. And I'm so glad to be here. I'm really sorry to hear that the show is ending. But at the same time, I have to say I was taking y'all for granted, just kind of expecting you to be there when I could come back. But I'm really excited about all the new and future plans you have going on.
Well, we definitely mean to include you and everybody on the show. So it's not that Perfect. We're not here. It's just we're going. Uh-huh. We're just changing form. Remember the tagline for a long time, and I think you were around. Were you around during some of the J Todd era when it was three of us on the show?
I think that's when I first started. In fact, we had J Todd on Poem Kabili once.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. So yeah.
So he really used the term a lot, the next evolution in poetry radio. And I hadn't thought about it. I think it was Dennis who brought it up. Is really what this is we're evolving again. This is the next evolution in what we're doing. So, and there's other shows that do what we do, but I think our community really
not
makes
as
it special.
Well.
Well, thank you.
No, not as well as you guys. I'm sorry. I've taken part in some of them, but you guys are the pros.
Well,
let's put it that way.
I appreciate that.
You are the act to follow.
Well, that's why we do it so late. Everybody's too tired to follow us. It's pretty easy.
Hey.
We call that a pro hack. Do the show so late, no one can follow you.
Oh, except Tony. I hear he's going to be here on the 11th.
I know.
I'm really excited
about that too. I think it's going to be a great thing. But I will do this. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to step back and not just talk your ear off this whole time, as much as I'd love to.
Okay. I work a lot these days, so I haven't really been writing a lot, but I have written one poem this year.
Okay.
It's called "But Still We Breathe Love." The wind used to whisper your name to me, but now it's silent. Are you all right? I used to think while watching the winged bird returning home to nest that this meant you would soon be here, but it does not. In their lives, the gander and his mate will spend their time together. When one dies, the other will pine to death, but we will not. This silly human experience we live, where time rewrites the values we were raised with, but it does not erase the hope that love is pure, that love is divine, that we might realize that once upon a time, we were meant for each other. A one-sided love is just that. I cannot pine like a goose when love is not returned or remains unseen. So instead, I sit here and embroider words onto the ether while gold turns to silver and youthful skin turns to parchment. Any poet can tell you that there are other worlds than this. Any writer can tell you that endings are not always happy. But when a baby cries, we listen and care for it. When God speaks, we obey, or at least pray. And when love appears, we tremble in the awe of our own humanity. But as lovelorn birds will pine for a mate, I will not. Although I miss you every day, every year, outside of time, I miss you with every breath. Instead, I will embroider words onto the ether and look forward to the days dawn and wane, and make much ado about nothing for all the things that I cannot control. But while I write, I will raise words in praise to love, to our own humanity and the depth of affection and pain that we carry while in love. The hues of the rainbow cannot match the depth and breadth of what love is and can be, just as the words of this poem cannot explain the intricacies of the heart, of becoming what and who we are. The mystery of life unfolds around us, and it will take an artist's eye to catch the intricacy, a writer's work to catch the beauty, and a love for the eye of God who has created all the symmetry and mystery. But to you, my love, I will write paeans until the world ends, just because.
Wow. That was beautiful. So well done. So well done. And I think, you know, there's a phrase I heard from a screenwriter once. He was saying, it was a runoff on kind of the Hemingway thing, that all you have to do is sit down at the typewriter and bleed. or something like that. Yeah.
I like the laugh part too.
Yes. I think that was really an example of in a meaningful, beautiful way. There was some blood in the words there, but that's what we do when we sit down and write, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and the one thing that I guess I haven't spent a lot of time looking into, but it's kind of what first led me to poetry, is its therapeutic value.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
really, I've noticed that it's worked for me. One thing I started doing this last year, have you ever read the book, The Artist's Way?
Oh, yes. In fact, I took a course in it.
Oh, you did?
Back in South Africa. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've been diving into Morning Pages.
8 week course, yeah.
Oh, really? You did? How was it?
You know, I was doing those, and occasionally I go back to them.
Yeah.
No, I just remember at the time hiding them all from my ex.
Well, yeah, they're
like under the bed. I had all these pages.
That's right. You've got to be confident. No one's going to read them. Otherwise, this stuff doesn't work. Yeah.
He was the kind that if he would have. So.
Well, I'm glad that you know. Hopefully, that's not a thing you have to worry about anymore, because I think we all need that space. You know.
Well, I put it this way: I'm not the person I was then.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah, now it would be like, don't you dare.
Don't you dare touch this. Yeah, I get
you
it. Yeah, so. right. Well, you're
anyway,
here. We love you.
Yeah, I am. I love you guys too. And I'm just, I'm so glad that I caught this and that Dennis contacted me again. He's been wonderful. He's like every week saying, Diane, you always have a place. And like, I think I told you, there have been a few nights that I actually have tuned in and I'm just, I'm working a lot, so God bless you.
It's okay.
Anyway, I'm here now, and I plan to be here for everyone, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more about the future. Okay.
All right, sounds great. We'll talk to you and let you know, and we'll keep you in the loop.
Wonderful.
All right.
God bless you guys.
Bless you too. Thank you, Diane. And that was Diane calling from Florida to round out our callers in the second segment here. JT, it's been a solid show, man.
It really has.
What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, before we go to the return, is there anything that we want to do?
Well, did you want me to cue your song?
Do you have it? If you pull it up, it's on Apple. Do you have it?
I have it.
Okay. So we're going to do this. Can we do this?
We can do this.
So let me tell the story about the song.
Please.
Because I think there's some context that's needed here. So part of our work is we're trying to connect with other creative people and different areas. So we connected with this guy who is a Emmy-winning TV producer, creative guy, really nice guy, actually. Mm-hmm. And he came to me and said, hey, Michael, I wrote this Christmas song, and I have this recording of it, but it's not really great. And I'm wondering, could you just do like a recording of it so I can really hear it done well? And I was resisting the song for a while. I mean, JT, I was telling you about it. Like, I was trying to make myself do it, and I just couldn't do it.
Yep.
So finally, one day, I'm like, all right, I'm going to record this thing. It's just a Christmas song. It's just for a friend, whatever. So I used the Pomodoro technique, like that 25-minute block thing where you work straight out for 25 minutes and take a 5-minute break and work. and I did it in 1 hour. So every instrument you're about to hear was done in 1 hour. All the singing was done in 1 hour. So I sent it to him. He's like, wow, this is great. Awesome. I'm like, cool. A few weeks later, hey, I've sent it to like 600 radio stations, and now it's on Spotify and Apple Music. So it's called Smells of the Season. It's a Christmas song. This is hilarious. This is the most 2020 way for me to have a Christmas single. It just happens that I didn't expect it. And I literally spent an hour on it. He put it out, and this shows you his inexperience in the music industry. He put it out, Smells of the Season, featuring Michael Amade by Tom Michael Cohen, which is his name as the writer. And, but now he's pushing it to be in advertisements and all kinds of things. It all works out for me. He's being honorable to me, like on the back end. So there's no worries there. But I wanted to share this with our community here because it's funny. So here is my completely unintentional Christmas single called The Smells of the Season. And it's featuring me, even though I played everything on it and sang. But it's written by Tom Michael Cohen. Whenever you're ready, JT. All right. And that is Smells of the Season. Yeah. By the way, my favorite part of this, so he sent it to another guy to do a mix on it, and that line about Santa's beard,
yes,
something smells weird about Santa's beard, that laughter was just nothing but sarcastic. I did it as an afterthought, like, ha, 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 and the fact it's left in is, it's like everybody's in on the joke now. It's really good. Nice, Jim. Thank you. Well, thank you for all of your kind comments in the chat there.
Where can they get this again?
What now?
Where can they get this?
Oh, so you can find this on any of the streaming platforms. It might even be, where did you look it up, JT? Was that Apple Music?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's on all of that. And in fact, I'm going to see if I can look it up here really quickly. Sorry, buddy. I know listening to someone type is great radio.
It's awesome. It's incredible.
I don't know if it doesn't look like it's on YouTube yet, but it will be around. And I'll figure out ways to get a copy where I can kind of send things out. I don't have an MP3 myself, but I will work out what I need to do to be able to get one. And I'm supposed to be doing a music video. I don't know. Well, it's hard to have a crew around right now.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Unless apparently you just buy the Apple iPhone 12 and that it does it everything. I mean,
the 11's insane too. And in fact, they actually have tripods now that you can connect where it will just track your own movements.
Yes.
So it's like you're having someone there.
Yeah.
It's insane. Although I will tell you, even though I'm not getting paid to.
Yeah.
The Samsung S9 can shoot 4K, can shoot really good stuff. I don't need to go get any iPhone right now. This is actually amazing.
Right.
So I could deal with that if I really want to. However, you know, we'll see. If I'm in a music video now, I'm really attached. All right. All right, everybody. So it is time now for us to be heading into what's called the return. Oh, wait, JT, let's do it. I'm sorry. Okay. I totally messed this up. JT, it's time for a little thing we like to call.
Yeah, I would have loved to hit that a little bit better.
Let's try this again.
Let's see what I did here. See, I hit the button.
I think we're
there's
them.
No audio out of that. That was incredible. I mean, yeah. Oh, you know what it did? Got to turn the volume back up. One more time with feeling.
Okay, let's try that. Hey, it's time for us to start a little thing called
the return engagement.
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 That's right. So anybody who wants to read a poem, another poem for the evening, or wants to call in for the first time and share something, you can during this next segment. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Boom.
Boom.
Here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an amazing return engagement lined up here.
So I do have a thing. Did anybody ever figure out my theme for a full year of music?
A That's right. He's been doing something. He's been running a theme for the entire year. Was it since? It was since last November.
Since last November. And okay. There are a few exceptions, you know, certain shows that are kind of obvious. You know, you don't play this theme. But I'm wondering if anybody got it. And I have seen a few from time to time. And I'm like, well, you're close, but it's not right. It's just a quick question. I mean,
I don't think I would have gotten it, to be honest with you.
It's hard, and I don't blame you. It's not themed on the song title or the groups, anything like that. I'll just give it to you. Okay, so for this year, I have been playing the top 100 hits for the last 8 decades on the 8s. So, 2018, 2008, 1998, 88, 78, 68, 58, and 48. 48's really hard, by the way.
Finding number one singles from that year?
Finding the singles for that year. It's just hard in general. A lot of it is big band, but it's really interesting when you delve into that type of music. You're like, oh, there's not, the list is short. It's like maybe 50 songs. Yeah.
Now, so, you know, I think there's one song that I've always wanted to hear you play.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking now I should do a cover of it since I've got that Smells of the Season momentum going.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I did look on YouTube after seeing Zach's comment. And if you look up Michael Amade, Smells of the Season, and worst case, add Tom Cohen, you will see a video of a little boy standing up looking at these ornaments. I think that's Tom's son. Cool. But at any rate, the song from the I think it's the 40s, I like bananas because they have no bones. And I think that song might be... that song might be one that I should cover.
You might need to, but it definitely did not hit the top 35 of 1948.
You have done.
I definitely got to find that song now. Thank you, Michael.
I don't know if it's 48, though. I could be wrong. But it's great.
Bananas.
The only reason I know about that title, Diane, is that I saw someone had done a meme. They're going, you know, people talking about, man, music's so horrible now. It used to be so good in the past, and now it's just so dumb. And then it has the record from 1940s. I love bananas because they have no bones. Like, uh-huh.
Wow. Yep.
How it goes. All right. Anyway, we've got some amazing people here. And JT, you think, by the way, thank you for doing that. And JT's always kind of had that level of thought into the music he's been playing. So since we've been doing this for so long, I just want to publicly say, JT, thanks so much for spending all that time and choosing the music and setting the tempo, setting the tone of the thing.
You're welcome.
It's not taken for granted. I've always enjoyed your music picks. It's always helped us too. And it's been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
It has.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to convince, I think JT and I and Christine and a plus one for me, who I have not asked if I can name her on the air, so I won't. Will be I think having a Zoom anniversary dinner tomorrow.
Yeah.
JT, do I need to call your wife and hook this up?
I think we can make it happen.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because I'm all, we'll make it happen. So I think that, we'll be able to talk about it more there, but it just seems fitting to kind of mark that.
Yes.
All right, everybody. So we got seven amazing callers. We're going to get straight into it. Now, of course, as we go farther on down, there may be a thing where we start having people call back. And a good indicator of that is if the caller before you has had to call us back, you're probably going to also if you're on a phone. It's just a good example, okay? But first, we're just going to jump right into it. Let me get myself ready to go here. All right, we are going to go, first of all, to Michigan. And no, it is not Dennis to start off, even though he's very close behind. Let's go to George in Michigan.
To start off, even
hey, George, welcome.
Why, I'm first, I'm ahead of Dennis.
I know. I heard the laughter. When I told Dennis you were ahead of him, he was very sweet about it. but I could tell there, I could tell there was a clenched fist there somewhere.
Oh yes. I have to pay later for that. You know, not really. By the way, you know, it's funny. We were just on a little bit about, maybe things have changed, you know, in our dreadful days for the recent years, but they, one thing I'm noticing even tonight and maybe last week too, is that it's not that we don't still have those sort of activist, angst filled poems in us. We still do to some extent, but I noticed that, we're having a little more fun. we're willing to maybe, perk up a bit now that there's a change, and, it isn't going to be a miracle for sure. I'm not pretending it, but I'm optimistic, and my stuff will probably perk up too.
I think it's a good sign that we're looking for hope, right? And I think when we start to find it, and you can see us starting to respond that way, it's a good sign. And then also, it might be wishful thinking on their part, but I was listening to a podcast where they had economists talking about what they anticipate happening after the vaccine really hits critical mass and all of that. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, they project that it might be kind of like a roaring 20s kind of sort of thing. And you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out, but I can imagine people are really going to want to spend some time out among other people and traveling as soon as it opens up.
Yeah, I'm one of them. My wife and I are eager to get into either the plane or the car, and we haven't been able to, and it'll be months before we do, probably. But yeah, I'm itching to get out of here and get out to my son is in your town.
Yeah.
So
I was supposed to be in Europe in September for a bit, and all of that went by the wayside, but that's okay. There's a lot of people who've had those kinds of plans. So we'll just make use of it when we can, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And in the meantime, we got to keep moving the car for the lawnmower guy.
And who would do that if you weren't there?
The car was growing tall grass under it for a while.
Oh, I imagine.
Anyway. Yeah. This one is called, what did I write that? A year ago, something like that. The icy shards of winter. The crusted winds of boldness assaulting down the lands with penetrating crassness, red frosted cheeks and hands. The hurried clouds that parent the blistered icy shards. The chilling unrepentant with arctic disregards. I knocked upon your portal, bid you to join my walk. But soon your hands were brittle. You could but barely talk. We hustled back accordingly. Our fortitude we shed. 'Tis better to be timid warm than very bravely dead. A love that thaws a frozen heart still fails to quell this season. I've never seen a poem smart enough to kill this freezing into peace.
Wow. I enjoy that one quite a bit. First of all, I think you've read that on the show a while back, didn't you?
Well, I didn't have, I keep like a list, a spreadsheet. I'm a spreadsheet guy. I don't know what I do if Excel ever folds on my computer.
Yeah, that's what, but anyway,
I have it as never having read it here, but I looked at it, quite a few times thinking, does that sound familiar? I must have read it, but I probably didn't write it down at the time.
We hear so many poems, it's hard to remember. It seemed like something you might've read, but either way, I think it's fantastic. And the thing that's funny is I was remembering back when there was the, that cold snap out by you.
Oh,
and what a big deal that was, and
that was really, really cold, like 27 below here, I think, one night or something.
That's
just preposterous, we haven't had any since, but that, in fact, our winters are warming here, but still, yeah, that was just bitter. That's just to make you enough to eat, it's a good thing I wasn't up on Donner Pass, or I'd have a meal up there. But Pedro.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The I already made an Alfred Packer joke tonight, George.
I wrote a poem once, and it had people eating it, each other at Donner Pass, and you guys laughed like hell. And I don't know which one it was, but it was a couple of years ago.
I remember this one.
And
yeah.
Of course, cannibalism is not a good topic for some people, but when sometimes you're just hungry.
Yeah, sometimes you're worried about your food supply. That's what I was trying to tell JT there. And the thing I will say is when it did happen, he didn't actually yell at me for eating the intern. He just yelled at me because it was so fast. Apparently, he doesn't like decisiveness. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just too fast.
Yeah, well, it was the days before microwaves.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll move over for a whole bunch of good people. So I enjoyed this evening very much.
Hey, thank you, sir. And we have enjoyed the heck of it already, and it just keeps going. So thanks for being a part of it, and we look forward to talking with you next time, okay?
Will do. Take care.
Thank you, sir. And that was George calling from Michigan in the first spot here in the return engagement. All right, I'm just going to go straight into it. JT, you have anything you want to add? Just jump in, my friend. Okay, cool. Now we're going to stay in Michigan, but we're going to go to our great friend, Dennis. Hello, Dennis, you there? Oh, my goodness. It's starting already, JT, that Skype thing. Dennis, if you can hear us, we can hear you. So if you could just hang up and give us a call right back, we'll take you live. That's crazy to happen on the second person. That also means people who've used their phone beyond this very likely will have the same issue. You can still hang tight, but yeah. It'll be there.
Yeah, we'll make sure. Anybody on Skype should be okay, though.
All right, Dennis, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you, sir. I've never seen this happen in the second caller. That's pretty crazy. But here we are. And so we're so happy we got you back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's always good to come back and be among friends and family. And that's just what we do every week. It's always a family reunion.
That's right. That's right. It really is. It really is.
And nobody has to bring the potato salad, so it's still good.
that's a big win too. Yeah, we got to remember this. You know, it's funny. I made, since I went all plant based this last year, we made a vegan kind of Wellington, beef Wellington, except it was plant based, and
whoa.
And, you know, I got to tell you, well, I mean, there was other stuff made, you know, for the other people too, but everybody started taking my food. They liked it more. But the thing is, you know, I got to say, I didn't feel like I missed anything eating like that. And, you know, hey, the decision was made for health, but I got to say, I haven't regretted it for a second. So, it's been a blessing all around, and hey, no potato salad needed.
Well, I've tried the Impossible Whopper, and it tastes like a Whopper.
Yeah, it's so not bad.
I don't know whether they're just saying that or if it really is.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if they're just lying to everybody? It's actually just made up. It's
it could be. Yeah. It'd be a big conspiracy for all I know.
Could be. Joke's on us. Okay. Anyway, Dennis, I'm going to give you the stage, okay? We'll talk after.
On with the poetry. Yes.
All right.
Okay. The poem I have this time is a cover poem. It's for the Poet of the Month, Charles D'Orleans. And I'd like to say before I start reading it, it is the hope that spring gives us that we can endure the winters. With that in mind, I read this poem. The title is Winter Has Cast His Cloak Away. Winter has cast his cloak away. of wind and cold and falling rain, dressed in embroidery again, the clear and lovely light of day. There's not a bird or beast, I say, but in its own tongue sings so plain. Winter has cast his coat away, fountain, river, and stream that play. Where, with their brightest livery, silver drops of jewelry, everything makes its fresh display. Winter has cast his cloak away. End of poem, a poem by Charles D'Orleans, the poet of the month.
Dennis, and don't get me wrong, I absolutely love your written work the most, but I think you covering other poets is so fun. And I love when you do it. And thank you for that choice. You have a great eye for that as well. So it's always a joy to hear you covering the poet of the month and other poets as well. Wonderfully done.
It's a joy to read other poets' poetry. I didn't know that when I first started out. I was afraid to read other poets' poetry because I had thought, well, I'm just going to subconsciously steal from what I've read.
Oh, yeah.
But I realized it doesn't work that way. We borrow inspiration, but we don't steal. And we still retain our integrity. So reading other poetry is to be encouraged, not discouraged. Yep. And it was a lesson I had to learn early. And I think I'm a better poet because of reading other poetry. I appreciate the opportunity to do so. So with that being said, I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic and say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thanks so much. And we will talk to you next time, okay?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, my friends.
All right, have a wonderful week. Stay safe. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan in the second spot here. Now we're going to head to Vancouver, British Columbia. Now this should work because she calls it on Skype. Hello, Cynthia. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, Skype rules.
All right, it does. Well, Skype rules in certain circumstances.
Yeah, right now for hopefully.
Like right now in a specific sense. But, you know, I got to say, I was thinking about this. Skype was in such a great position to just really go into the stratosphere with the whole COVID thing. And the fact that Zoom was able to jump in really, really is interesting, you know? And I don't know. It's just, there was a real push for it. However, that being said, Skype has been the way that we've built this show. And as frustrated as we are with it sometimes, we do have to appreciate that it's been there for us. So, yeah, I guess we should say Skype rules, huh?
Well, it is nice to get to call in for free to a show in another country. Like, kind of take for granted.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, it is kind of cool.
Yeah, what technology is doing for us.
Oh, absolutely. Just how incredible, right? How incredible.
I'm going to go on the winter theme that's going along. And I read a couple lines out of this poem on Wednesday, and it was they were lines that were embedded in Wendy Bullen Stevenson's artwork, which is really cool. My former next door neighbor and wonderful friend and collaborator, Wendy, is doing a whole theme of color. So she's just choosing every color and collecting out poetry and art and made from things she can find in her home right now. So she's not leaving her house to do it. She's just using whatever's in the house. And it's on an environmental appreciation theme. So this is my poem, Earth Medicine. When sunlight permeates rainforest winter and blackbirds ascend from violet bark, soft clouds drift into ancient dragonflies, moving like wind across the sky. On those rare days when the blue in the raven's wings shines in the light, go through the open door. End poem. Mm-hmm.
Beautifully, beautifully put together. And I think the magical realism kind of way that you approach natural poetry is really special to Cynthia. I think that's one of your many superpowers. And thanks for bringing
it. Thank you. I've always been a fan of magic realism. So thank you.
Oh, me too. I find myself more and more desiring to live in that mental place too. It's kind of hard when you're at the DMV, you know, and trying to get a driver's license or something, but magical realism can exist anywhere. I think that's the point, right?
Actually, one of the things that's gotten me through lockdown is that I'm just writing to really positive things that fill me right now.
Yeah.
It's the full time to just, you know, do things that make me feel good. So it's like write to paintings, write to beauty.
I think that's a really good way to go, actually. It's a fantastic way to go. Thank you so much for everything. Really appreciate it. And thank you for sharing this work. And hopefully we'll hear from you over the next few weeks.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, slot number 3 in the return engagement. Now we're going to be heading to, once again, the scariest state in the union. I'm never going to be able to talk about Pennsylvania not that way. Let's go to Jim. Hello, Jim. Are you there? That was great. That was perfect. My gosh. All right.
So it is a thing.
You know what? Fine. It's a thing. How many years did this take? Was this 4 years now of this? Just call me the Confederacy. It was almost 5 years of just.
So you're seceding.
Apparently I am. Well, no, I seceded back from the thing back in the day, and now I'm just giving up. Yeah. All right. So Jim, what do you have for us, buddy?
Well, it's actually kind of a love poem.
Okay.
Which it's interesting that the person who inspired it has been ghosting me on Facebook Messenger for almost the last year.
Oh no!
So it's like, yeah, maybe I'm a little screwed up in the head sometimes.
Well, hey, we get the word when something like that happens. We write things. We got to remember, though. At least the good part of it is we still have the work. You know.
Yeah. Okay, so it's titled. The grace with which you move. The grace with which you move, lovely hands, lovely feet. Ruby lips, honey-kissed, with raven tresses soft and flowing, that adorn your head as a queenly crown. I hear beauty lying in your voice, bird song in form and function, holding me fast. To while away the hours drinking in the stars I see in your eyes. End of poem.
I think that's a beautiful piece, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very nicely done. And I think there's a woman out there somewhere that will really appreciate things like that. Yeah. All right, sir. Hey, thank you so much. Are you going to be around? Are you going to be around this next week as well?
I don't know. Well, next weekend is my weekend to work.
Oh, okay. Sure. Understood.
So I may send in submission.
Sure.
Or audio. I'm not sure. Sounds I know good. For the 18th is also my weekend to work, so I may have to send. So I'm definitely going to be sending in audio.
Okay.
I have two. I know what poems I'm going to do, and I'm going to ask you for a specific to read the play the last one at the very end of the show.
Okay.
I can get my words out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We can definitely make something like that work for sure. And
Double A.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be in touch. I'm sure we'll be communicating that way, but we will, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right.
And that song I told you about.
Yes.
I posted in the Facebook page.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Found it on YouTube.
You did. See, yeah. YouTube is such a great place to find that kind of stuff. Okay. Awesome.
All right. I'll let the next poet come on.
Appreciate you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania in the number 4 spot. Man, we're just moving straight through this, aren't we? All right. Now we're going to go to upstate New York. We're going to actually just travel to New York for a minute. Let's go to Zach once again. Hello, Zach. You there?
Hey, I'm here. Are you here?
We're here. This is pretty amazing that, I don't know. It makes no sense, JT. Makes no sense. But here we go. We are here. Zach, we can hear you loud and clear. It's been a pretty good night tonight, hasn't it?
Well, it's always a good night, thanks to you and JT.
Hey, JT, you hear that?
Yeah, it was nice. Thank you.
Yeah, you should tell your wife someone said that. I mean, I think it's a good thing.
I will.
But wait until she's mad at you, because I think that'd be the perfect thing to say to end the fight.
Yeah. Sure it will.
No. So Zach, thanks so much for being patient this evening and just bringing everything you do. We're going to give you the stage. We'll come back. We'll talk after. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. As we all know, this is a place of support. And as we've all talked tonight, you know, this has really grown our confidence and everything. I mean, even not only just my poetry, you know, you guys gave me the confidence to do covers and sing. And, you know, I find myself having a lot of fun doing it. And so, you know, keeping in theme with, you know, inspiring people. This is called Anyone Can Write Poetry. Anyone can write poetry. I say that because anyone can tell a story. Don't worry if you can't rhyme. Most poetry doesn't. I just prefer to. It helps with the flow and keeping time. Don't knock it until you try. If you do, I think you'll find it can ease your mind. End of piece.
Hey, I like that one. I think you hit on kind of the one of the things from the show that we've always really kind of advocated for, which is that, you know, we really appreciate the great quality of poetry. Yet at the same time, we're very keenly aware that poetry, just like music, belongs to everybody. And it's something that is wonderful when it can be fully embraced and fully, you know, accessible to other people. I think you really hit on that very well.
Absolutely. Poetry really saved me because, you know, being on the autism spectrum, I have a really hard time communicating vocally. And so, you know, I was getting lost in my head. And so I think, you know, figuring out how to write it out to realize, understand how I was feeling and why I was feeling that way. I think it kind of made me, you know, understand myself more. And then, you know, once I understood myself, I could, you know, put myself in other people's shoes and, you know, be able to empathize.
Absolutely.
And that's what I hope. My poetry does. I hope that it comes across in my book, and hope it comes across in my next book, and you know, and I hope it comes through in my music, because I've written 3 full length songs, and now I sent that that thing to you.
Yep.
And so
sure did.
We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes, but. Yeah, thank you for letting me be a part of this community, even though it's only been for a short time. But, you know, you've really made a difference.
Well, hey, I think, you know, everybody gets out of it what they put into it also. And so you put a lot in, and everybody who's on the show has put a lot in over the years too. And you're just as much a part of it as they are. So, so thank you. And like I said, you know, we're changing forms of the show, but it's not over. We're not disappearing. We're still part of each other's lives. So let's just grow together, huh?
I can do that.
All right. Hey, Zach, thank you so much, sir. I know we'll be in touch over the next week, but I look forward to talking with you next time.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you soon. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York. Some great stuff coming along there. All right. Let's see here. Now we're going to be heading to Pennsylvania once again. And we're going to talk to Ellie. Let's see if this works. Oh, I think it's going to be the same thing. Ellie, can you hear us? Okay. Ellie, if you can hear me, we cannot hear you. This is what we talked about. So if you can call right back, please do. And we'll take your call live. It'll be easy as can be. All right. There she is. And she just hung up. So we'll be getting a call back from Ellie any moment now. I think that'll be really, I'm looking forward to hearing her stuff again here.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a good night, huh?
Yes, it has.
We got some great stuff going on.
Yes.
All right. Here is Ellie. Let's bring her on live. Ellie from Pennsylvania. Hello, Ellie. Welcome back.
Hi, Michael.
Hello. Thanks for waiting so much. And thanks for being so responsive with the call back.
Oh, it was great just listening to everybody. It really was.
Yeah, we.
It's like being home.
It is. It's pretty cool, huh? So here's what I'm going to do. Yeah. We caught up a little bit in the first call, so I'm going to give you the stage, and then we'll talk after your poem, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, here you go.
Okay. I have a poem, but I want to give a little tiny background on this poem. I was trying to grow water lilies, and I found out that the only way you can grow water lilies in a pond or a small area is if there's a lot of mud at the bottom, because water lilies need to put their roots in the mud in order to grow their beautiful flowers. And so that got me to this poem. It's called, let me just get it up here. Okay. It's called Enough to Just Be. This quiet freedom, as fear has fled, I know not where, acceptance blossoms a water lily. In this pond of gratitude, flowing ever serene, spring a constant beam of sunlight. Where darkness grew her pain, deeper still, a reprieve, you say. Maybe the moons will know if I ask them, or the skylark winging his song. This water lily is me now, born in the mud of yesterday's pain and sorrow, not needing the answers of the universe. Just being is enough. End of poem.
Wow. Well, Ellie, as always, beautifully done. And I think you're speaking to something that at least I have really been having to get into this year. You know, I when the lockdowns happened, I thought, okay, well, how am I going to make the most use of this? Oh, I know, I'm going to go all in on taking online courses. I'm going to study. I'm going to try to get better during this time. And I have, but then eventually what that led me to was really needing to be to do some real internal work on my own processes, to the point where I chose, in a very positive way, to start going to therapy. I chose all kinds of things to really get in touch with some places where I'd been really holding things back. And I think the idea of just being is, it's easy to pay lip service to it, but man, is it hard sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But that struck me that way anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's all about getting out of our heads.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And I heard in an Al-Anon meeting, it said, don't go into your head alone. It's a very dangerous, neighborhood.
You know, I thought about that too. I heard it's your head is a bad part of town. Like, get out of it and just be moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big time. But I think us poets have a problem with that. Like, I've jokingly talked to my brother about it and said, you know, I think we were born with a nostalgia gene that makes us want to be nostalgic, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with nostalgia, but I've got to say, I think there's a lot of traps there and you've got to be really careful.
Yeah. And it's funny. My, one of my daughters, would chair an Al-Anon meeting. And when she did, she would call me and say, Mom, you come and speak on the third step, which made a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understood him.
Yeah.
And so when I did, I would always end my talk with this. I would say that if you're going to be stuck in the past in your head, then you're just going to be lost. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be stuck in the future, you're just going to be full of fear. And I don't know about you guys, but I just want to stay wherever God is, and he's right here in the present.
Wow. That's I think that's a point that is very valid. I remember hearing someone, Reverend Michael Beckwith, give a Easter morning sermon once, and he gave the analogy of the of Christ on the cross and the two thieves on each side. And he said, if you look at it on one side of Christ, it is the thief of the past, and on the other side of Christ, it's the thief of the future. Right, and living in both of those it steals away who you are. But then the salvation, the Savior, is in the present moment, in the middle between the past and between the future. And I think what you're talking about is the same thing, you know. And I'm learning, I'm working, and I think a lot of us are. I mean, I think that's a uniquely human journey that when we're trying to live an examined life, we kind of get to. But that's what it made me think of, Ellie. And we appreciate you so much, and we love you.
I love you too, Michael. And thank you for the offer to help with a future book.
It's there. Yeah. I'll reach out to you. We'll get it connected, and then we'll get it moving. 2021. If you want it.
Oh, wonderful! It sounds glorious.
All right. Perfect.
Thanks, Michael.
You've got it.
You take care.
You take care as well.
Love you too.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was the lovely Ellie calling from Pennsylvania there in the number 6 slot in the return engagement. All right, let me keep up on my notes here. I've got a notepad here. I don't have JT with all of the amazing. By the way, you were talking about George being an Excel spreadsheet guy. That's JT as well.
Yes.
JT has spreadsheets on so much of the show over the years. It's fantastic. I mean, I remember him producing like flow charts and it's like showing me, no, it wasn't pie charts exactly, but
no,
you're showing graphs.
Graphs. Yep.
Yeah. You're showing graphs about like call times and
call time, average handle, basically average talk time, average poem time.
Yeah.
You know, per caller.
Per caller, yeah, we could see where I was dragging the show along.
Yep, sure could.
Which still do, still okay. do sometimes.
It's quite all right.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's a lot less than it used to be.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit. I think I'm a little bit better than I used to be.
You are. We have both grown as much as these poets have.
Oh, that's for sure. I will tell you. You know, for everybody listening, it's one of those things where, you know, we got on the air and we were kind of trying to find our way and kind of pushing through on fake confidence. Now it's funny because of this show, I literally, when I'm in a situation where someone needs me to speak in front of other people, that's what helped me through the transition into teaching. If I hadn't been doing this show, I don't think I would have been able to go into teaching the way I did because you learn to be verbal on your feet and to move fast.
Yeah, you do.
And to be thinking and responsive. And it's really that plus the teaching because of the stuff that's made me to the point where I don't have any fear about getting up in front of people and talking now. And it's because of the show. Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. This has brought so much to our lives. for sure. And, you know, hey, JT.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do something. I know we talked about this before the show already, so I'm just going to offer it out loud.
Okay.
I know this is a bit of a push, so you can stop me right after if you don't like this. Okay. But I'm just going to do it publicly. So JT and I were talking before the show about doing the end of the world poetry, and we did express that we would hope that Mr. J. Todd Underhill would maybe consider giving a call to the show to read something. Now, we don't know if he will.
Right.
But I would like to ask a few people who are in touch with him, maybe to reach out to him and to see if he's interested in doing that. I think it'd mean more coming from you guys. And of course I'll try as well, but, I just figured I would ask. So if you think you can do it, or if you want to give it a shot, awesome. We would love it if you would consider giving us a call on the last show, December 18th, something like that. And, I think it'd be really special, but if not, no big deal too. That's okay. All right. So JT, are you okay with that?
I'm fine.
Okay. Cause you can shut me down any old time, buddy.
I understand.
Okay, cool. So. Cool. All right.
All right.
So we've got one more caller. Last, definitely, but not least, a great friend of the show we've heard from already. Let's see if we can get him on. It might be another weird phone thing. Let's see. This is Steve from New York. Hello, Steve. Are you there? Okay. Steve, we're having that issue again. So if you can, hang up, give us another call back, and we will take you on live. Oh, my goodness. Just how this stuff works sometimes, you know?
It is. It's odd.
Yeah.
But
just what happens. Just what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, and there he goes. We heard it. So we'll be getting a call back from him momentarily. All right. Here he is. Oh, and his own other theme song. All right. Hey, Steve. Thanks for calling back, sir.
I wasn't sure if you were listening to Dennis and playing the theme song again.
No. I think JT was just about to, and then the Skype ringtone came in, which is a whole other kind of theme song. So,
well, I figured that maybe for a return engagement, it would no longer be the Emperor's March, but rather an old Elton John song. You're probably thinking of exactly the one I'm thinking of.
I very well might be. JT, what do you think? You got one in your head?
No. I've got a few running in my head.
Dennis is too nice. He can't get it.
Oh, I know it. Thank you, Steve.
One? Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
It's got it's BIB are the initials. Or TBIB.
TBIB.
Yes. That's right. Yes. TBIB.
Yeah.
Wow. Good man.
Woo! Took me a little bit.
But we digress.
Yes.
Amazing show tonight. Really an amazing show. I wasn't going to call for the return engagement, but Ellie's pieces, and then our discussion about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Because I was trying to save stuff for the few remaining ones. But before getting into the piece, something hit me today, and I'm just wondering if other people have thought this. It really struck me that the voices we have influence the writing. And it hit me when Cynthia was reading. Such a magnificent read, and such an amazing piece, but Cynthia, for example, has a voice like a soft breeze through a foggy northern forest. And it was perfect for the imagery she did.
Yes.
Dennis always has a sense of joy that comes through in his voice. And it's the same in what he writes. Ellie's voice is the voice of a loving mother. And that comes across in what she writes as well. And I'm wondering if anyone else has ever thought that the voice they read with influences the decision or influences what they write. You know, I just saw George pop up. Every time I hear George read, and obviously I've never met George, and George, I apologize, but I've got an image of a man of a certain age on a front porch in a rocking chair observing the world passing by and having a keen eye doing it. And for some reason, that just really hit me today, that the voices influence the right.
I think it's so true. And by the way, Steve, George says you're dead on. And actually, JT and I have had the pleasure of having dinner with George and meeting him in person. And it's really, and I think that's one of my favorite things is when we actually meet in person too, because it suddenly becomes real. We realize, oh yeah, there's actually these people we know that is, that, you know, it's built up. It's not fake. You know, this is a real thing that we all have here. And,
well, then it is a good thing Governor Cuomo would have to shoot you if you came here. Otherwise, I would introduce you to New York City's finest cuisine, also known as a dirty water dog, a knish, and a bad cup of coffee.
Hey, you know what? I think when this stuff gets sorted out, I've got to get back to New York City. I love New York City, and I haven't been back since we started the show. And I may have to just break the plant-based thing to indulge in some of those things, because I think that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, with that, and I apologize for taking time on that digression.
No, I think you're right. But I wanted to add one thing, is that, Steve, you have yourself really influenced how I read poetry. And you, since the first time.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's been great. And I will say, and of course, it's my own interpretation of it, right? But because of that, I think not only does my own voice influence the poetry, but in a way, your voice influences my poetry.
Don't hang that on me.
I'm sorry about that.
You know, I've got my own sins to worry about.
Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But Ed, the only sad thing about that observation is, with this voice, all I'm left with is death, despair, gloom, and doom. But anyway, no title for this piece yet.
Okay.
Who is it that I see in mirror's gaze? The weary, sad-eyed son of exile? The man recovering from his despair, the former slave of the amber mistress, the dreamer for so long disillusioned? Or is it perhaps a father by grace, living out the hopes his father had lost? Or maybe the spinner of mighty tales, living another's dream carried from home, undeserving recipient of grace? In the darkness, when their ghosts surround me, we discuss the long and painful journey, all things that were lost and some thrown away, to complete the American crossing. End piece.
JT, what did you think of that, my friend?
I really enjoyed that. That was great.
Yeah. It was, wow, Steve, that was a really vivid piece. I mean, talk about being able to picture just really strong imagery there. I loved it. I really did. I thought that was...
Well, you're an easy audience.
maybe that's the case.
But thank you.
That might be true, but I really do. Really do. So, absolutely. And thank you for sharing
with us. Well, thank you very much. And as always, thank you for everything you do for all of us.
Of course, it's been our pleasure. And like I said, it's not, it's going to change. It's not going away. So we're here, and we'll be a lot more active in other venues than we have been. But I think this is oddly the right move. It feels strange. It feels kind of scary, but it's the right thing.
Just remember, what appears to be the death of the caterpillar is actually the birth of the butterfly. So it's only going to be better.
Yeah, I think that's the right attitude moving forward, and we'll keep that in mind too. And
every so often, I have to be upbeat. Take care, guys. Okay. Thank you.
You too. Thank you, sir. And that was Steve calling from New York, the last caller in our return engagement this evening. It has been an amazing show, and I'm really, really thankful for it. So now, JT, we haven't really talked about it, but since we have three more weekly shows,
yes,
next week we'll still do. I think we should still do a poet of the month.
Okay,
And we'll figure out how we're going to do it. We might kind of change things by a week or something, just to make it fit better and have more time. But
okay,
we'll still do a few things there. We're going to just try to make these next three shows just the best they can be and really just connect and have a great time. And keep in mind, you know, we've got a lot of stuff coming, so make sure you're listening as well. We'll be making sure that all of you have the ability to kind of have the direct path to publication in the World Poetry Magazine. We'll be opening it up to other people, but the people who are the longtime listeners of the show will have a specific way to get in, that you just send it to us there. We'll make sure the spam folder is checked every single day.
Yes.
it'll be open like that. So we'll be unveiling and giving away all that information over the next few weeks as well. But, we just want to say thank you so much for everything this evening. Yes. JT, what's up, buddy?
Dennis popped it in the chat room. The anthology.
Yes. So we're still needing some poetry for it. So now one thing I will say is it becomes difficult for us to go around and pick out poems and just pull them in. I mean, it's really when the poem's been submitted, we can actually go back and say, yes, this thing is made for the, or this thing was sent to the anthology. This is part of the consent pathway,
yes,
with the poets, right? So it is something that we can just kind of, in case like Amazon asks us for it, because sometimes that has happened in the past. We've actually had to prove that we had permission because of the email and the submission and everything. So and it doesn't have to be people just listening to the show. If there's people you know that have submitted before, people that you really think should, who need to get into something, that's great. We're gonna make an anthology. And whether or not it's, you know, it doesn't have to be in by the 18th. I think actually we should say there just should be in by the 18th. What do you think, JT?
In by the 18th?
Yeah, December 18th.
Or the end of the year.
We could say the end of the year. Could.
Let's just do the end of the year.
Okay, so we'll say that by the 31st, New Year's Eve, sent in, we will do it. There'll be all still announcements on the World Poetry page.
Yeah.
It'll be all over the place. But we will, let's have a commemorative anthology for this year. This seemed like a shame to not put out one this year, and we would love it if you'd all be a part of it.
And then we'll have COVID in big letters on the cover.
I'm kidding. And yes, submissions are definitely still being accepted.
Absolutely.
Diane. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we will make it happen. And, yes, let's see. Of course, anything you want to send in, you absolutely can. Absolutely, Dennis, you sure can too. And I'll get the clues together, George, and I'll put them up this week, okay? All right. So, good. That was a good question. Thank you for that. So, here we go. So, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, and from Hemingway, the studio dog of World Poetry Open Mic Studio B, from JT, myself, thank you so much for spending your time. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We are thankful and grateful for all of you. And we cannot wait to share more time with you next week and over the coming weeks. So until next Friday, keep authentically connecting with those around you as much as you can. Stay safe and keep on writing. We love you. Good night.